we're really asking God to examine our hearts. This is not so much about our stuff as it is about what's going on underneath the surface of who we are. So we'll jump into that in a few minutes. But is anybody in here, have you ever been caught in the middle of an argument between two people that had nothing to do with you? Anybody ever been there before? It's an awkward place to be, isn't it? Like when you see two people, they're just, it's like, how did I end up here? And I don't really know how to get out of it. And it's an awkward spot. I get into that sometimes when I'm doing premarital counseling with couples before they get married. I always have a lot of fun doing that, but I get them to argue about something. And sometimes it gets a little intense, but those aren't usually the intense ones because they're like so just wide-eyed, open, and in love that they don't even really know how to argue yet. But it is a little awkward though sometimes when I'll ask and they say, oh yeah, we've argued. Some of them will be like, yeah, we argue every day. I'm like, oh, okay, good. We got a lot to talk about. But sometimes I'll be like, tell me your most recent argument. Like what happened, your most recent disagreement, and tell me about that. And there's been a couple times when, man, they did not resolve without me present because I'm really of no use for you right now. And it's like, so anyway, it's awkward, right? If you get caught in the middle of something like that and you just don't know how to navigate through it. And the thing is, we step back and we think about ourselves, like, why do I get in an argument? Why do I find myself in conflict with people? And sometimes it's because usually I care about something very passionately. They care about something very passionately. I'm convinced I'm right. They're convinced they're right. And nobody's going to give. And so we like collide. Luke chapter 12. Before we jump there, I want to share Psalms 27 with you. Because this is kind of a check for us. As the psalmist says in Psalm 20 and verse 7. He says, some trust in chariots. Some trust in horses. Now, probably nobody rode in here in a chariot or on a horse this morning. So you got to substitute and make this apply for you. But he's saying, some of us trust in things that we can do. Things that we can accumulate. But he says, but we will trust in the name of the Lord our God. Are you going to trust in him? Too much of anything clutters up our eyes for you. And he said to them, take care and be on your guard against all greed, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions. Too much of anything clutters your identity. Verse 16 says, and he told them a parable saying, the land of a rich man produced plentifully. And he thought to himself, what shall I do? For I have nowhere to store my crops. And he said, I will do this. I will tear down my barns and I will build bigger ones, larger ones. And there I will store all my grains and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. So just relax, eat, drink, be merry. Verse 20, but God said to him, fool, this night your soul is required of you, and the things you have prepared, whose will they be? So is the one who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. Holidays are coming, right? You feel it? You feel the pressure yet? You got to get the gifts. Like Black Friday, we're like, what, 2 weeks away? A little less than 2 weeks? Like it's coming. I know you're already shopping. You're getting ready for it. We're in the mood, right? It's coming. Holidays are coming. But with holidays, I know for some of us, that also means stress. That means pressure. That means certain people are going to have certain expectations that you deliver with a certain gift, with a certain thing, that you're at all these places that you can't be unless you cloned yourself out, right? And you feel all this pressure. I think this is fitting for the season that we're about to come in for us to step back and realize too much of anything clutters up our identity. And with the holiday season coming, with stress and pressure maybe in front of us, maybe whatever it is that you're going through right now, let's step back and ask ourselves, am I really trusting God in this? Whereas there's just too much going on that's just cluttering up who God says I am. So we're going to break down this parable and look at it. And here's the first thing I want us to see this morning underneath this idea is this, is that your identity, my identity, they're always tied to something or someone. Your identity is always tied to something or someone. And sometimes it takes having too much of something or someone for us to realize that this is happening. Several years ago, right after Jennifer and I were married, I can't remember, and the head of my three wood goes flying out into the driving range. And I turn and I'm like, what are you guys doing? I think I literally said, you came all the way up here and you just wrecked my golf clubs. Like, what are you doing? And I completely, I mean, you can tell I'm still a little hurt by it. Not really, but like, it completely, like, I never recovered from that. I didn't buy more golf clubs. I was like, I don't have the money to replace these. I was like, you guys came all the way up here and you broke my golf clubs. Like, I laid into them. And I just remember Justin was like, dude, we're just going back home. Like, forget you. We didn't do it on purpose. I was like, well, if you'd hit the ball, right? Like, it wouldn't happen. And it actually caused a little rift between us. And it was, so all that to say, why do I share that story? It has nothing to do with golf. It has everything to do with what was going on in my life at that point, that my identity was not too wrapped up in golf, but it was too wrapped up in something other than what it should have been. And sometimes it takes a little tension. It takes a little reactionary moment for us to realize when our identity is tied up in something or someone other than Jesus. And you've probably been there when you look around and it's like you dropped a grenade and everybody around you is just laying on the floor with dismantled arms and it's just like, what just happened here? It's a boom, bomb went off. You just unloaded on everybody. And you feel it. You feel awful and you feel horrible. And usually what we try to do is we start trying to band-aid it and fix it back together. But what God wants to show us in these moments is there's something really going on underneath the surface that's not settled. And that's what he wants to deal with us about. Because when our identity gets attached to something or someone, it obviously clutters up who God has called us to be and who he wants you to be and who he wants me to be. So we have to learn from these things. And so we see in this story, there's this brother that comes to Jesus and he's throwing a fit. We don't get the whole story, but he's coming to Jesus. He's like, dude, my brother's trying to rip me off. Will you fix this? Like, you're God, fix it. And Jesus is like, we're not going to talk about that. We're not going to talk about that. I'm not going to get in the middle of that. And here's the thing that happens is sometimes I think whatever we think the issue is usually not the issue. And Jesus has the ability to see right through that. So you and I, we see symptoms, but a lot of times we don't see the root issue of what's really going on. Our emotions and our behaviors are not the root issue. They're symptoms of the root issue. And so Jesus presses into this guy and he's like, okay, you want to talk about how you're getting ripped off and life's not fair and your brother's not giving you your share of inheritance? Okay, I want to talk about your heart because that's what matters more right here. And he goes into the parable and starts talking. So for you and I, as we look at this passage this morning, let's step back and begin to ask ourselves, is my identity tied to someone or something other than Jesus? We'll be tempted, if we're not careful, to run through our whole entire lives just trying to behavior modify ourselves in every situation rather than letting God do the heart transformation that he wants to do underneath the surface. We'll, like this guy, we'll run to Jesus and say, will you fix this? Will you put a band-aid on this issue? But Jesus knows good and well that our struggles and what we're going through, they don't need band-aids, they need surgery. So he can cut underneath and figure out what's going on and remove the root issue that's there. Too much of anything clutters up our lives. And I think this was starting to happen with this guy as he runs to Jesus and asks Jesus to fix, because Jesus sees something here that's off. And he goes in and he tells the parable. Now, as he gets into this parable, right before he says it, he says, be aware, be on the lookout for all kinds of greed. The things that we covet after, depending on your translation. And I think when we step back and look at ourselves, and look at my own life, there are two common characteristics that tend to manifest themselves. One is pride, which means I'm way too focused on myself. I'm way too into myself that I never see the flaws in myself, but I see them everywhere else around me. So there's pride, but then there's greed, which is essentially way too much focus on the things that I don't have. So I devalue the things that God has provided at the expense of things that I don't yet have. And so Jesus says, I want you to be careful here with greed. And I think in our culture today, we're set up to have these things flying at our face constantly. And I think it happens in two forms. I think the pride shows up in popularity, and I think the greed shows up in possessions. And our culture is great, right? Our culture is good at like constantly trying to cultivate these two things inside of us. I mean, when it comes to popularity, I mean, thank you, social media. Like, for all the good that social media brings, there's all the bad that social media brings too, right? Because it's all about the pride of oneself. It can feed right into that. It doesn't have to. If our hearts are right, it's a great tool, and it's a great way to connect with people and share your story and share about what God's doing in your life. It can be a great tool. But a misused tool, a seemingly good thing, when it becomes a great thing in our life, is a big God problem. And so pride creeps in, and it's popularity. It's how many people are noticing me and seeing what's going on in my life. And it becomes this very self-centered thing. Too much of anything then starts to clutter up our identity. So our identity starts to get wrapped around how people see me. Because one thing about social media, as you all know as well as I do, you can make yourself look like anything and hide who you really are. So there's this constant pull that's now every time we pull out our phone, it could potentially be right there in front of us. So there's this popularity struggle, but then there's the greed struggle that comes with our possessions. I mean, you can't watch something on TV or click on anything on your computer. I'm really freaked out sometimes by the way the ads get like flooded to my face. I clicked on a Tennessee shirt the other day on fanatics.com, and now when I go to like six different websites, that shirt's popping up trying to get me to buy it. I'm like, this is weird. Like, I know it's all about what's going on the back end of the internet. Like, I get it, but it's still like, it's a little scary. It's like, it's always there in front of me. It's like, this item is still in your cart on a website you haven't been to in 7 days ago. I'm like, I know, because I don't want to buy it. I changed my mind, but you keep trying to get me to get it. It's like it's right there in front of us all the time. Too much of anything clutters up our identity. We got to realize that it's there. So for you this morning, what is it that's pulling at you? What is it that's attacking your identity? If you guys would switch over to my laptop, I'm going to illustrate something y'all know I can't draw very well. I did try to draw a little bit in advance, so to spare you the horribleness of my writing. But if you want to jot this down, I think you can kind of learn from this. It's two triangles talking about our identity gets tied to something or someone. Because I think God wants to set us free from this. And so the big question that we asked this morning in this triangle is ultimately, we're talking about, do I really, I'm putting a T in the middle for trust. Do I really trust God? Well, this is a way to kind of check yourself, because this triangle would reflect the fact that we don't trust God. So it looks something like this. We acknowledge that God's presence is there, and we say, God, I'm gonna trust you. I'm gonna trust you, but really, I'm gonna do things based on me, the way that I want them done. So God, it's gonna all go through me, and then we begin living for something or someone. And here's the way to check that. Is when that something or someone doesn't work the way that you want it to work, what does it do to you? When that something or someone doesn't deliver the way that you think that it should deliver, what does that do to you at your core of who you are? How does that impact your emotions, your decision making, your drive, your attitude, the way that you relate to people? Because if we're trusting God, those things don't shake our identity. But when we've looked to God and said, nah, God, instead of doing it your way, I'm going to do it my way, I'm ultimately going to let myself be rooted in things and people other than you. That begins to shape our identity. But here's the way that God wants us to go around this triangle. This would be a healthy example of trust. Is that we look to God and we say, God, how do I trust you in this? What do you have for me? And he would say, well, it all begins with who I've told you that you are through my son, Jesus. So instead of going through yourself, you're going to get to know Jesus, and you're going to let me tell you who you are. You're going to seek me out. You're going to walk with me. You're going to let me tell you who you are. And then guess what? There's still going to be things. There's still going to be people that show up in life. But because your identity is not tied to those, your identity is tied to who I say you are as God, you're going to be able to navigate through these things and through these people that come alongside you, whether they're for you or against you, whether circumstances are lining out like you thought they would or they don't. You see the difference between the two? And we step back and ask ourselves, am I really trusting God? Well, you look at the things and the people in your life. I do the same, and it gives us clarity on where our identity lies and who we're really trusting. Okay, you guys can go ahead and switch back over. So we continue on in the story, and we see the next thing in this is that right questions also need right answers. Right questions also need right answers. I look at this guy and I see I see the question that he asks. So the guy in the parable now. So we learn from the parable here. He has all this stuff. Just kind of self-confess for a moment. I was at a point back several months ago in the summer. You ever hit those seasons of life? They don't come often, but where you just kind of feel like things have slowed down just a little bit. Like you're breathing a little bit and you're like, ah, I got a little rhythm. I got a little order. Anybody ever get there? I know we don't get there often, right? But you ever get there? And I'm one of those people, like I feel that and I'm there for like a day and then I'm bored, right? And I'm like, something's not right. I'm not busy enough. The schedule's not full. Like, what am I doing? And I get bored. I get restless. I start fidgeting. And Jennifer's like, will you just relax? And I'm like, I don't have anything to do. I need something to do. And she's like, maybe God's just wanting you to not do anything. Like, just chill. Don't feel guilty about sitting on the couch. And I remember I was in one of these stretches several months ago. And I was washing dishes. And I remember in this moment, like, again, I don't hear God's voice audibly, but I just felt him speaking to me. And he was like, because I was kind of venting in myself. I was like, oh, there's so many other things I could be doing other than washing dishes right now, but I'm not doing them. I'm washing dishes. And I just felt God say, like, just chill. Like, I'm trying to give you a little breather here. And again, I didn't hear his voice audibly, but I really felt him say this. Because I know what's coming, so I'm trying to give you a chance to catch your breath for a little bit. Will you just shut up and breathe for a moment? Like, I felt God just like say that to me. And I was like, whoa, okay, fine. I'll wash dishes all day. Like, it's good. I'll just chill. And sure enough, fast forward a few months later, things gotten a lot busier, schedule's full. And I'm just like, I'm wearing out. Now I'm on the other end. Now I'm like, oh, I just want to go sit in a room and not do anything. Like, can I get back to that place? And so in the middle of going from one extreme to the other, right? Again, God shows up and he says, I want to talk to you about what you have on your plate. Remember a few months ago? I was like, yes, got it. I'm going to learn from it. He's like, I want you to learn from it. And so I've been having this conversation with God about what needs to come off my plate, what needs to stay on my plate, how do I navigate through that? Have you ever been in that spot? You're just wrestling through that. And you know, sometimes I got to make some decisions right now and I may not really feel the fruit from it for a few months, but I got to do it right. I got to start making those decisions right now. And I think God wants to bring us to these forks in the road. Like, that's where this guy was at. He was asking the right questions, but he wasn't patient enough to get the right answer. Too much stuff clutters up our identity. And I think the thing that keeps us from finding the right answers is our lack of willingness to take our time and making our decisions. Now, why do we not take our time in making decisions? I think it goes right back to identity. We get so wrapped up in so many things that we feel like if I don't make a quick decision and keep this thing going in my life, then I don't know what I'll do. I don't know who I am. That's maybe not what we would say out loud, but from the inside, that's what we're saying. So we rush and we make this decision and that decision, trying to keep this identity held together that we've molded for ourselves. When God says, this is not who I've called you to be. This is not the pace I've called you to live. You're asking the right questions, but let me lead you into the right answers. Tension in us being able to trust God. He wants to pull us back and say, look, just breathe for a minute and let's have a conversation that's maybe going to be multiple conversations. That's maybe going to take a little longer for you to work through this. And when we reach those points, I think there's three things that we have to do. You cannot know the will of God in a situation that you're going through until you've done these three things. I truly believe it. I've seen it in my own life. The first one is prayer. This is not revolutionary. These are simple things, but oh, how quickly do we just rush through these? If you have not truly prayed about it, I'm not talking about venting while you're just driving down the road, but I'm talking about like really getting away with God where there's not too much of anything else going on and spending time in prayer with God. You will not make right decisions if you have not let God lead you through it in prayer. Second thing is the scripture. You cannot know the heart of God until you've gotten to know the heart of God, right? And how do we discover that? Spending time in his word. Your exact situation that you're going through, there may not be word for word answer in scripture, but here's what scripture does. Scripture teaches you about the heart of God. Scripture teaches us a lot about how God works in our lives. And when you spend time getting to know God's heart and the way that God interacts with his people, it leads us into making healthier decisions. And then the third one is counsel from spirit-led people. People that you trust that you know are already praying and getting to know the heart of God through Scripture, and that you can go to in confidence, and they're gonna speak the truth, but also with grace. I think the times I've made bad decisions is because I've left one of those three out, if not all three. But when we can learn to let God lead us through that. And you see, I don't think this guy in this parable, I don't think I don't know how much time elapsed from what shall I do to I'm just going to build bigger barns. I don't know how much time went by right there, but I feel a lot of myself in that. And it's like, boom, got to make a change. What do I do? Okay, I'll do this. And I make that decision based off the stuff that's already too much in my life that's cluttering up my identity. So then we look and we see how this story ends. The last thing that I'll end with is this, is that we learn in this that more doesn't mean better. It just means more accountable. More doesn't mean better. It just means more accountable. Because we see how this plays out with this man, but then it's like, but God said. So God shows up and he speaks in his parable and it says, but God said. And so it's kind of this holy interruption where this guy and this whole plan that he had thought up for himself, God shows up and speaks into it and basically says, no, the decision that you've made right here is not right. You're not showing trust in me in this. Because you've went this route, this is the way that you're setting your life up. And who's ultimately going to benefit from the things that I've provided to you? You've completely missed it. I think we have these holy moments, and maybe this is one for you this morning where God just brings you back and he says, nope, that's not the direction I want you to go. I want you to hang out right here a little bit more. Let me talk to you a little bit more. Maybe it's affirming. Maybe he's saying, yeah, I just want you to know you're on the right track. Keep going. You're on the right track. I don't know. But sometimes we got to pay attention to those holy interruptions where God shows up and he interrupts. But he does that right here with this guy. And he's like, no, look, you're missing the point. You're missing what this is all about. He's piled up so much stuff. His identity has become wrapped up in so many things. And for you and I, it's so easy to just follow in his steps. But then we see that God actually caused this guy a fool. And here's the thing that I want us to see this morning is that he's not called a fool because he has a lot of stuff. Okay, this is not a message this morning to make you feel guilty about how much you have or you don't have. The focus here is not on how much he has. The focus here is on what he does with what he has. And God says, look, you have all this stuff and you're making this decision that's all centered and rooted around yourself. And I think when God gives us whatever he has, we have to come to this place where we trust him with every single bit of it. And we say, God, this is all yours. I'm going to trust you with it. This is yours. Show me what to do with it. In God, we trust. In God, I trust. All this stuff cannot shape my identity. It has to be rooted in you. And we bring that before him, and he leads us into that. Look, I get it. There's times when we give, and we give of ourselves, and we step back, and we think, wow, you know what? If I didn't give what I give, or if I didn't do this or do that, I would have much more time for myself. I would have much more comfort. I'd be able to be like this guy. I could just eat, drink, and be merry. But you know what I found that God does when we come before him and we let him lead us through these things like this? He actually helps us be better stewards of what we have. When we give of ourselves, when we choose to live off of less, when we choose to bring things before him and say, what do you have me to do with this? He begins to work in our heart and he actually helps us do better with the things that we already have. And he ends by saying, this guy completely missed the mark because he was not rich in God. What does it look like for you to be rich in God this morning? Well, I think it means that we come to this place where our identity is no longer cluttered up by the stuff that we have, by the pursuits of everything and everyone other than Jesus. He brings us to this place. And look, I know the easy thing this morning would be for me to give you like a black and white answer that's like, if you have this much stuff, you're good and you're rich in God. Or if you have this much, then you're not rich in God and you're very selfish. And like, that would be easy, right? But I can't do that for you because God, we all live different lives. So I don't know what that looks like for you. But maybe that's a good tension to wrestle with. On God, what is it? where is that place that I need to be where I'm thankful for what you've given to me? I'm willing to give and trust you with whatever I have. And I'm not in a greedy way seeking after more. I don't know what that looks like for you. I'm wrestling through that on my own, but that's the beauty of what a church family should be. We help each other figure that out. So as our team comes up and gets ready to lead us in a final song, I just want you to begin to ask yourself a few questions flowing out of this. Is are there things in my life that I have too much of? Just begin to reflect on that. If you would just bow your heads just for a moment and just minimize the distractions around you and just begin to ask God, are there things in my life, God, that I have too much of? Maybe it's people, maybe it's worry, maybe it's stress, maybe it's stuff, maybe it's money. I don't know what it is for you. Are there some things in my life that I have too much of? And if there are, what do I do with that, God? Just begin to have that conversation with him. Are there things in your life that you have too little of? Too little Jesus, maybe? Too little relationships? I don't know what that looks like for you. But too much clutter, too many things, too many voices leads us to this place where we're not really trusting God. We miss how great he is. My prayer for us this morning is that we would just open up our hearts to that a little bit more. Let God lean into that, but don't miss uniquely what he's saying to you this morning about what's going on in your life, because you know what's too much. You know what needs to decrease so that he can increase. You know what that is. You know what that looks like. Maybe there's someone in your life that there's not enough conversation with. You need to talk to them. Talk to them about what God's doing in your life. We're coming into the holiday season. There's going to be people all around us that are just spiritually a little more open. I think God's going to give all of us in this room opportunity to invite people to come with us, to invest a little bit of your story into them, talk about the good news of Jesus. I think he's going to open up a lot of doors for us as a church over the next couple months. I don't know. Too much, too little. Have that conversation. As you look at his greatness, let him remind you. God, forgive us for when too many things get in the way. Maybe the too much is just us. It's me. Too much of me. God, thank you for your grace. Thank you for your truth that you speak into us. Speak clearly now, God. We just want to set our eyes on your greatness and how great you are. We know we're messed up. We know we sin. We know we fall short. We know we're too selfish. We know we're too greedy. We know we're too prideful. But you are a great God, mighty God, able to save, able to meet us in the midst of whatever it is that we're going through. So we look to you, God, in these moments, because we don't want to be like this man in the story that was just all about building up his own life and never being rich in you. We want to see your greatness. We want to see your goodness. We want to be the church, God, that you've called us to be. We want to be the people, God, that you've called us to be. Help us not to be wrapped up in all the things we could get wrapped up in other than you. Speak to us, God. We need to hear from you, and it's in Jesus' name that we ask this. Amen.